Welcome to Broads, Books, and Booze. This is your host, Jamie.
And Monica. Hello, hello.
Hello, friends. Hello, hello. Getting in the mood for spooky season. We're doing Frankenstein by Mary Shelley. Goes along with our identity.
Yeah, it actually does, so we were very lucky.
Was there... I'm sorry. I just lost my train of thought. Was there anything in particular that you wanted to choose Frankenstein for this month, or just because of all the hype of...
Yeah, I thought that it coming out at the end of September would be a good introduction to our spooky season. And plus, it was like a fairly short and easier read, so I felt like something a little on the lighter side. And even though it's like an older book, it's not very difficult to read, I didn't think.
I thought it was very easy to read.
Yes, I wasn't like looking up words and, you know, questioning, wait, what do they mean? Like, right. It was really good.
She wrote it when she was 19, so I thought maybe she was appealing to a more general audience, where some of the other books that we've read, I think, may not have pertained to a general audience.
Yeah, so she for being only 19 years old, like, super impressive. Holy cow.
Right. So I got some questions from readinggroupguides.com, and we're just going to go over a couple of different ones. So in the book, at the beginning and at the end, there's the narrator, Walton, writing these letters.
Which is really funny, because I actually had to Google, are there letters in Frankenstein? Because I thought I downloaded the wrong book.
I was like, this is not the story I was expecting.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, it gets different. So, do you find Walton a reliable narrator?
Well, in reading through the questions about him, I didn't when I read it. I thought I didn't even have any question about his reliability. I just sort of took it at face value. But then after reading through some of those questions, it's like, oh, well, you know, maybe he does want to believe his friend that he made on the ship. And so he's skewing things more in his favor.
Because they're such BFFs.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know if it really would have mattered much.
Yeah, I feel like his desire for a friend and his need to have a relationship kind of skewed his opinion of Dr. Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Which I think that, just, I'm going to throw this out here, if she had named the book Dr. Frankenstein, I think people would be a lot less confused about who Frankenstein really is.
Or if he would have actually named his creation, maybe.
Yeah, given a name, Bob.
Yeah.
You know, something. Anything. Right? So I have some interesting questions here. The horror story is just as popular today as it was in Shelley's early 19th century England. What is the appeal of this genre?
Oh, well, I think, and especially with her being so young at the time, you know, I think it's exciting, and I feel like there was a big interest at the time also in, like, the paranormal.
Science fiction.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, just the excitement of it, the newness of it and everything. Yeah.
How would you compare it to, like, modern horror stories such as Stephen King or, like, Nightmare on Elm Street?
Yeah, I think it was a lot less gory, although a lot of horrible things did happen, but I feel like it wasn't as, as intensely described, I guess you could say.
So would you say then that Frankenstein has a broader audience because it's less gory?
I think so. I think, you know, I think that young people would enjoy it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I definitely think so. It's not disgusting or anything. It's more just, like, shocking.
Oh,
and
oh no. I didn't expect that to happen. I am amazed at the monster, the creation strength. I'm like, how did this happen?
I know.
I'm like, where did that come from? Dr. Frankenstein finds himself unable to mother the being he creates. Why does Shelley characterize Victor in this way? What does this Choice say about the role of women during Shelley's era, discuss the significance of the parent-child relationships and birth references throughout the novel.
Okay, I'm going to let you take the point on this one. I am very interested in what you have to say.
Well, I think that it really says that men at this time didn't really take any responsibility of parenting. And even though he created this thing, he's like, I don't know what to do with it.
Yeah, he was, you know, he created it, but took literally zero responsibility for it.
Right. So they're like, oh, I just sort of let it go.
Yeah. Oops. And that was so weird to me, is he was just like, oh, well, and just kind of goes about his life, you know?
Yeah. And I felt like that must have been how it was during that time period. Like the men kind of like, well, we made the baby. Now you got to do something with it.
Yeah.
And then I really thought it was interesting about how he has, like, a difficult relationship with his parents.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, maybe that's part of why he can't mother. I was like, mother? I'm like, you could father. Can't you be a father? Can't you father this creation you made? Victor?
Can't you just be scientifically responsible for what you created in your lab?
Right. You created a person, Victor, and you're just like, eh.
And you just let it off into the world.
Let it go learn some French. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
Dreams and nightmares play a recurrent role throughout Shelley's novel. Trace use of dreams throughout the book with emphasis on how they relate to changes in Victor's character.
Yeah, I don't remember his dreams. Like, I didn't make note of them.
Oh, I didn't either, and I thought maybe you would have, because I know you're, like, the dream guru.
I am really into dreams, but I remember remarking on it when I was reading it, and I think it does just go to, like, the overall anxiety of the characters, you know?
Oh, yeah, he has so much anxiety.
Yeah.
It's like, I thought I had anxiety, but I got nothing. Nothing on Victor Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Good Lord. Dr. Frankenstein, you need a psychiatrist.
For real.
Okay. Why are there so many references to sickness and fever in Frankenstein?
It's so funny that that is a question, because as I was reading it, I was like, you know, I need like a month at the seaside to get myself put together. Like every... You know, if people were always, like, having a fever and delirious and sick with every stressful situation, I would never get out of bed. I'm like, were people, like, weaker back then? I was really remarking on that. Every time something happens, he's, like, has to be tended to.
Right.
You know, he can't even take care of himself. He's, like, bedridden.
I was in a fever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, how like, do I you, get me some fevers? I need a break.
You had a panic attack, buddy, and a nervous breakdown. That's not a fever.
Yeah, I guess if you look at it that way. I was kind of taking them literally about the fever.
My dad had to take care of me, and I didn't know what was happening. I'm like, oh yeah, really?
Psychotic break much?
Yeah. This fever was produced by bad choices. Yeah, I really think that the sicknesses that he is feeling are a manifestation of his mental health.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it is he knows, like, he's gotten himself into a situation that he doesn't know how to fix. And so, really, he pretty much just does nothing.
Well, and even, like, his creation, the monster, comes to him as, like, hey, I'll give you this deal, make me a mate so I have someone like me. And we'll call it Even Steven, and I'll leave you alone.
Right.
And he's like, okay, sounds good. And then he's like, no, never.
Well, and I didn't get that either, because I thought, well, what's worse, having two of them who could keep each other occupied or having one angry one? Like, if there comes a time to put your foot down, Victor, this was not the time.
The monster's like, I will destroy you. I will destroy everyone that you love. I will ruin your whole life. And I was just like, I feel that. I feel that. I have felt that way. You have wronged me, and I want you miserable.
Frankenstein's monster was feeling stabby.
He was very stabby.
Yeah.
Justifiably stabby. I'm like, you abandoned me. And then when I ask you for one thing, you're like, hell no. So I was like, I will destroy your life.
Well, and I would have, I would have questioned, you know, if he had had some reserve without just letting, you know, his creation loose, you know, I would take more stock into his decision to not create another one, that it was an educated one. But this was just pure, I'm not doing it, you know? It's like, you pick that time to start making a decision. It's so crazy.
Right, it's like, I left the house and I came back and the monster was gone. Huh. Well, move on with my life. Oh. You want to talk about the drinks you mixed up for us?
Oh, Jamie's Treat bought the best ingredients. This, I love an old fashioned.
Me too.
I really do. But this is an orangeello, which was purchased at a local distillery. So it's equal parts that and bourbon. And it has some orange bitters and some cherries and orange slices and a little bit of soda water for sparkle. And it is fantastic.
It is fantastic. So if I also like suddenly fall asleep.
I dosed her up good because I knew it would be a good recipe.
That, and I've been up a long time, so I'm feeling a little tired. Okay, next question. Revisit some of your pre-reading activities.
Zero.
A journal entry on the Philosopher's Stone and anticipation guide on parenting.
No.
But I'm like, huh, yeah, not happening.
No.
Okay. Ice is a prevalent image in an integral plot device in Shakespeare's Frankenstein. How is it appropriate that the novel ends in ice?
So I noticed the ice, but like they were going to the North Pole.
Right.
Right? So I didn't really think of it in terms of a plot device at the time, I guess.
Yeah, I didn't either, but I was thinking it did freeze and keep them in place for a long time.
Yeah.
And it did keep him from being able to seek the monster that he wanted to destroy, so the monster was able to go out and be free and have its own life, so to speak, and do what it wanted, where he was stuck by this ice, angry, and just focusing on wanting to kill the monster.
I gotcha. Yeah, that does make a lot of sense then. So it's more of like parallel to how he was feeling, the powerlessness that he was feeling and the stuckness was the harshness of the ice and how it made them not able to do anything.
Right, because they were cool. They were stuck there for quite some time before they broke through.
Yeah.
Okay, let me look here.
Well, I thought before we get away from going to the North Pole thing, what was his name that was going to try and discover in the North Pole? Or he was so cool because he was like, I've got this ship and I'm going to sail with all my friends and I'm going to be famous. And, you know, I'm going to have my place in history. And so I felt like it was really, he was a parallel to Victor Frankenstein, whereas this, you know, this sailor decided to put the lives of his crew and everybody else first and sort of took responsibility for his choices.
Well, I think that was something that was actually going on during this time period.
Probably, yeah.
I've read a couple of stories about people trying to circumnavigate the globe, and there was even like the race to get to the North Pole once they got to Antarctica. And I can't remember who they were. They died.
I imagine a lot of people would die trying. I mean, with not even any kind of modern technology like we have now.
Yeah, there was like Americans and the British were fighting to get there first, and like this guy brought horses, which don't go well on ice. They ended up eating them. They ate all the dogs they took. It was very harsh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not a good time. No. Don't recommend.
Definitely not something I would have set my ambitions on.
Okay, this is an interesting question. Place Frankenstein's creature in modern times. Suppose he had a family that raised him, includes him, and even enrolls him in school. How might today's society treat Victor's creature differently? How would it mimic the period of the novel?
Ah, so we're going to do nature versus nurture.
Well, he was taken in by a family who treated him kindly and nicely.
Oh, he was hiding. He wasn't treated nicely by them.
Oh, no?
No, he was hiding and watching them.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, so he...
With the girl.
Right. Yeah. So he saw all the kindness and how what wonderful people they were, and he kind of... So that gave him a basis for good and bad. He knew what good was. But when he did try to introduce himself to him, they were all afraid of him.
Oh my God, you're
like,
so...
Stop, stop.
You're so horrible looking. And I was like, how horrible looking is this guy?
I know.
Like, people run screaming from him.
Well, I know he's like 8 feet tall, so that might have something to do with it. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, if you place him in modern times, I don't think, honestly, that he would get any better treatment. Really, I don't see where people are any less judgmental than what they used to be. In fact, they're probably a little worse.
He probably needs to be homeschooled.
And some therapy.
Don't send them to public school.
No, gosh. The bullying in public schools, at least in our area, is off the charts.
Oh, okay. Consider the character of Justine Mortez. While her story only takes two chapters of Shelley's novel, her role as a secondary character is significant. What is Shelley's purpose in telling Justine's story? What truth about her time is Shelley revealing?
Oh, that was so heartbreaking. So the monster kills Victor's little brother.
Terrible.
Yes. And
then he's like, I will kill everyone you ever love.
Oh. Well, she was like the maid, right?
Mm-hmm.
But she was also, like, you know, very liked and part of the family, but she definitely worked for the family. And so they, what was it? Did she have the necklace?
She had something of his.
Yeah. And I can't remember how she got that. But yeah, so she was just...
She didn't remember, I don't think.
Yeah. Oh, that's because the monster put it on her. Right? While she was sleeping in the barn or whatever.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right. So she didn't remember how she got it. So nobody believed her. They didn't really even have any proof. And they just, like, convicted her and hung her.
Yeah.
And even though the family was like, no, she didn't do it. I know she didn't.
They're like,
you know?
Somebody's got to be blamed.
Yeah. And I think it's just kind of goes to show the... how classist society was, whereas, you know, yes, if we can pin it on somebody, we'll pin it on the help kind of thing. She didn't receive a fair trial. I don't think would ever have been convicted in today's day and age.
The circumstantial evidence, mm-hmm. at best, yeah. Mm-hmm. And even Victor's like, there's no way she's guilty. She didn't do it. And they're like, yeah, she did it. It's good.
Yeah.
He's like, I know who did it. They're like, we're not interested.
I was shocked and very sad.
It was very sad.
Mm-hmm.
The patriarchal society of Frankenstein is one in which men pursue their goals against hopeless odds. In light of this work ethic, Robert Walton is a failure when he turns his ship around at the end of the novel. How would Victor Frankenstein answer this question? What would Mary Shelley say? What do you think?
Well, I mean, Victor Frankenstein would not have stopped for anything. He didn't. He was in a delirium.
Yeah.
He was just, you know, pure ambition with no regard for consequences whatsoever. Whereas Walton was more, more open-minded to listen to his crew's concerns and to think about the bigger picture. Like, is this going to be worth dying for or killing all of these people for?
And he had his sister that he was writing to think about as well.
Yes.
Where Victor is like,
He didn't think about his family at all, did he?
No.
He was very self-centered. Definitely.
He was like, well, there's this monster that has vowed to kill everyone I've ever loved, but we're going to go ahead and get married.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to tell you why you shouldn't marry me, but you probably shouldn't marry me. But on our wedding night, I'll let you know.
Well, and he was so narcissistic that he thought the monster was going to kill him on his wedding night.
Right.
So, yeah. Victor.
Those are the overarching questions that I found. Was there anything else that you want to talk about?
Well, I mean, I think it is a very creepy and suspenseful read, I thought. And
they travel all over.
Yeah. Yeah. And this monster is just bent on revenge. And I think that
was really good at hiding.
Yeah.
For being so big and creepy. It could just like blend in and disappear like a blink of an eye.
So I don't know if it was his mistreatment, like his maker abandoning him, and then this family that he valued and sort of fell in love with, they also turned him away when they saw him. And even the monster is like, well, what I should have done was talk to the blind father alone and gotten him to like me and then introduce myself slowly. But he didn't do that. He was just like, hey, I love you guys.
I'm obsessed with your family. Let me join.
And they're like, ah!
It's a monster.
So, you know, so he did know the difference between right and wrong. So did he make a choice to be a murderer, or was he a victim of his abusive upbringing? Both.
Yeah, both.
And it was, so I had a really hard time, like, deciding who the villain was. I think Frankenstein and his monster were both pretty awful.
They were both terrible.
Yeah.
They were both terrible. I really was very surprised at how eloquent the monster was.
Yes!
I'm like, wow.
That's definitely not how he's portrayed in the movies.
Wow. He's like, first I learned French. He's multilingual.
Huh. Yeah. Smarter than me.
Yeah. He's quite loquacious, too.
Yeah. Yeah, very poetic. Expressed his feelings quite well.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, oh. Because, you know, Frankenstein, Victor, being the wonderful creator he is, he's sort of like, meh. So long. Farewell. Goodbye. You've disappeared, and I'm not even going to look for you. Well, that was good.
Yeah. Yeah, so definitely a good Halloween story. Very creepy, monstery, terrible people, lots of death.
Lots of death. And I, by far, think the book outstanding, especially compared to any movie adaptation ever.
Yeah, yeah. It's not even an equal comparison.
Yeah, although I do love Young Frankenstein.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's one of the few Mel Brooks movies I love.
Well, I'm glad we picked this one.
Me too.
Yeah.
So, our parting thoughts are, happy Halloween.
Mwahahaha.
Mwahahaha.
Boo. It's not our favorite holiday or anything.
No. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.